If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
And we're having a critical conversation around ArcelorMittal. The business had made an announcement just last week that it is looking to close its long steel production capacity. If you wonder what long steel is essentially used for, think of these long, wide rods that are not only used within railway, but also used as girders for infrastructure and the buildings of certain major structures. So it's really critical that we actually have the production capacity, foundation slabs in buildings for dams. So it's really important that we do make sure that the business does keep going. Before the ad break, we did speak to Elias Monage, president of SIFSA, that's the Steel and Engineering Industries Federation of Southern Africa, who painted a wonderful picture around the multiple factors that are at play that have rendered ArcelorMittal into the situation and circumstance that it's in. One key aspect that he also touched on was on the importance of socio-economic consequences on the potential closure of ArcelorMittal. And that's the fact that thousands of jobs would be lost, and even the economy of Newcastle itself as a key and prominent city in KwaZulu-Natal would come to a standstill. Someone who knows all about this is the president of the Newcastle Business Chamber, Morne Seaman. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Morne, and welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm excited to have this conversation with you because I have a few friends who actually are from Newcastle. I did some reading up on Newcastle as well, and I realized that the steel industry actually started back in the 1920s, with the Newcastle Iron and Steel Works Limited as a business that was established then. Maybe give us greater detail and context just around the importance of steel, iron manufacturing within the city of Newcastle and how it's contributed to the livelihoods there.
Thank you so much. I don't know if you know the history of ArcelorMittal. Well, it's called in those days Newcastle, but yes. In 1969, the government started the process of beginning ArcelorMittal in Newcastle.
Yes.
As you can understand, this was a major, well, this made Newcastle into a major economic hub in KZN and northern KZN. So, yes, you can find, you can walk in the roads of Newcastle and you can find very few people that doesn't know somebody who works in Mittal or either have worked for Mittal in the last few years. So it is devastating news to hear that the company will be closing its doors in Newcastle.
It definitely is devastating because the jobs losses, the livelihoods and the socioeconomic impact is very drastic. One of the key themes our previous guest alluded to was multi-stakeholder engagements to reach a solution to the problem. As a chamber of business, have you had any engagements with ArcelorMittal, with other stakeholders to make sure that the business keeps operational?
We are fortunate. They are actually one of our members at the Newcastle South Agglomeration Business Chamber. Unfortunately, as everybody knows, sometimes it's hard to get the government wheel turning. We are hoping that we've been fortunate to have the Report newspaper, The Witness, and a lot of the newspapers and people have been speaking to us. And hopefully now, when we're on radio stations, people will start listening to our live. But yes, no, we haven't sat around the table, but I do believe that the ArcelorMittal management have been sitting around the table for the last few months, or been trying to, and not very successfully getting the government involved.
Mm. And this is really disappointing and disheartening. If just as a stakeholder and someone who has a keen interest in the growth and development of the business, because as you say, there's been minimal interaction with other stakeholders and getting government on board. But paint a picture for us, and I'm hoping that you can bring it down to family dynamics and food on a plate and lights on in a household. But should this plant close down in Newcastle, what kind of impact would it have on the residents of Newcastle?
Yes, I think it's scary. One of the newspapers asked me to comment, it was the night before, and I wrote a little bit of a response to it. And mm-hmm. I went to bed that night and immediately started thinking of more people and businesses would be involved. If you start with businesses, you have downstream providers such as, it used to be called NPC, I think it's called Intercement. Now they get slag from ArcelorMittal. So if the Newcastle plant stops working, then obviously they won't be able to get slag. So that's another business which is affected. One of my friends who runs an engineering company, 80% of their business comes from ArcelorMittal.
Mm.
And then obviously the employees of ArcelorMittal Newcastle, you know, they will probably get a package and pension, but that won't last forever. So they would have to look for work elsewhere.
Mm.
So those people are leaving. Then obviously there are contractors and businesses supplying services within the boundaries of the plant. I know from when I work, there's air conditioning services, there's Kajima IT company, there's a lot of companies that work internally. So those people will be, those companies will be gone, and obviously their employees won't have work.
So,
and then when you go down the line from there, you get the restaurants, you get the doctors, you get the hospital. We won't need 10 doctors anymore or 20, you'll need half. So yes, it's far reaching what's happening in our town, and our, it's going to be for the whole of Northern KZN then.
So what looks like just a 3,500 number of employees is far, far, far more than that particular figure. Could this essentially make Newcastle a ghost town from an employment and economic point of view?
It could very much become a ghost town unless a lot of things change. There are talks of mines around the area, but I mean, it will never cover the amount of people that we will lose in the meantime. We need a solution now. We need a solution fast.
Got you. To close off with, Mortney, as we take a look at these solutions, I can imagine you are part of several engagements, lots of conversations. Where are we now with trying to chart a way forward? I understand that the IDC, they've been reported to be trying to step in. Any other further engagements that you've witnessed or are lined up to participate in as a member of the chamber?
Unfortunately, we haven't heard definite dates. I'm also not sure what I can and can't mention, but I believe there's another roundtable meeting close to the end of the month between ArcelorMittal and the government. But yeah, like I said, you've heard about ministers and people saying they would be involved, but I think we need to get past the fact that people want to get involved and help and talk about it. We need to get the implementation phase. We can't expect ArcelorMittal to pump in money into South Africa and not have a definite date of when something will happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's billions a month. They can't keep on doing this. So what we need from our government is to say, listen, we will sign a paper. This is what's going to happen. We'll implement it within a month, 2 months. And it is actually that easy to fix. There are a few things that need to be done, which would be a short-term solution to this problem we are sitting with. But we need somebody who will take ownership and do the work.
If that doesn't happen, what does it mean for your chamber and its members?
Bad news. A lot of businesses will suffer, a lot of employees, a lot of people will go without food, a lot of people will not have jobs anymore. And apart from that, now we would have to look at crime also, because now, like I say, people won't have jobs. So now, what's the next level? Either leave Newcastle or maybe look in at the life of crime, and then we get even affected more.
Okay, looks like we've lost Mortney there slightly towards the end of the line. But if you have heard this...
I am back. Sorry about
that. Oh, fantastic. Thank you, Mortney. You'd mentioned a life of crime and job losses in Newcastle. There was another point that you had closed off.
Yeah, so like I said, it will affect us tremendously. It doesn't matter what environment you are in. If it's accommodation, if it is in the restaurant business, yeah, we all will lose. And it literally is in somebody, a few people's hands who can make a difference.
And who isn't currently, who can and should do it for us.
Yeah, definitely. Mornay, such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. All the best, and really hope that there's a solution that can be sought to this, because Newcastle is home to many, and jobs, livelihood, and financial success is critical for many South African households. So thank you again for your positive updates, hopefully, in the upcoming weeks.
Let's hope we can shortly talk and say this was so tough, but now it's better.
Yeah, it definitely. Let's hope so. Perfect. All the best, Mornay. Thank you again. That's Mornay Seaman, who's the president of the Newcastle Business Chamber. I am, blown away at the fact that there just hasn't been a level of appetite and encouragement, as has been mentioned by both guests and many other reports, from government to actually come on board and engage in these conversations to save not only the company, but more so the livelihoods that it impacts. And maybe you're someone who is from Newcastle, maybe you have family there, maybe you drive past Newcastle very often or actually do business there. We want to hear your thoughts and perspective on this, because the numbers that we might quote top of line to say 3,500 jobs will likely be impacted by the closure of the long steel plant, that's a drop in the ocean. The socio-economic consequences for a country like South Africa, the environments that we come from, the societies that are impacted, is significant and cannot be ignored. And if anything, from what we are hearing and seeing, as mentioned by my previous guest, Elias Monage of CIFSA, is that it goes back to policy, having frameworks in place to protect certain industries in our country. As a result, these businesses are prioritized in terms of their growth and their development. Even though we encourage competition, we need to do so with the right things and understanding which spheres of competitiveness can be tapped into. And then most importantly, prioritizing our people. Keep our people employed, ensure that they have a job, ensure that they participate in these industries and their evolution. And as a result, that builds thriving societies. Otherwise, at this rate, unemployment will continue to be a plague in South Africa.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.